At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, and WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribe, and follow the podcast, YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Trade deadline week is here. Thursday, July 31st at 6 p.m. is the Major League Baseball trade deadline. And the Phillies, well, they're connected to a lot. I mean, they are connected to a lot right now, as you'd expect. I mean, the Phillies have one of the better teams of baseball. Flawed, yes, but one of the better teams of baseball. The starting pitching, we know what it's been. They need help in the bullpen, obviously. And they have some options there internally, but also go out and get another bullpen arm. And they also have a team and a lineup that at times you feel great about, like over the weekend, Friday, Saturday in New York with Turner sitting, when Schwarber's sitting, when Harper's sitting. It's like bam, 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 bam. Even yesterday, a couple home runs from Otto Kemp. You feel like there's some depth to this lineup, but they're probably missing one big bat, one missing piece, one power bat. And it feels like now Dave Dombrowski is on the prowl to try to find that player. And I want to talk today about Eugenio Suarez. Eugenio Suarez, who has one of the more fun names in baseball and is having an incredible season. And the Phillies are one of the teams most now, I mean, really the last 3 days, like hotly connected to Eugenio Suarez. So let's dive into the player, the profile, who he reminds me of as a player, what he brings, how it would impact the team, and the other teams the Phillies are in contention with to get a Eugenio Suarez from the Diamondbacks. All right, let's go over the player itself. We're talking about a 34-year-old player, free agent to be, having an incredible walk here, setting himself up for one more contract. He had signed an extension, I think it was like an 8-year, $79 million deal way back in the day. And then, you know, he's been around since then on this deal with Cincinnati, with Seattle, with Arizona. And now the Diamondbacks are just having a nightmare season. And, you know, they had lost all their pitching, basically, their whole bullpen injuries, and they just really haven't been able to recover. I think if they had their pitching healthy, at least their bullpen, Corbin Burns, if he didn't go down. It just feels like Arizona and Baltimore having nightmare seasons, and they're probably good bets to kind of bounce back in the future, maybe next year as quickly as that. But they're going to sell now because, you know, they see the writing on the wall for this particular season. It's not happening. And Suarez is a free agent. You got to move him to strike while the iron's hot. So he's got 36 home runs, 87 runs batted in. Look, he's not up there to walk. I think it's only 29 walks this year, but 36 home runs is the real deal. And if you look at – so Suarez has had what I would call a very productive but also like an up-and-down career, to where some years it's like, whoa – you know, Eugenio Suarez is one of the better third basemen in baseball. And some years, like, eh, you know, a lot of strikeouts. The power's good, but not overwhelming. And his defense isn't great. Like, you know, he's fine. He's a pretty good player. But we're in one of those zones where he's playing really well. And he made some meaningful adjustments about a year ago at the All-Star break. Mike Petriello, MLB.com, chronicled how he moved closer to the plate. And he really, you know, he made some mechanical adjustments. And this is a sample now that goes beyond a year from last year, the 2024 All-Star game. And I think his OPS at that point was in the 600s. From when they came out of the All-Star break 2024 through now, which is now obviously a full year post the 2025 All-Star break into the second half of this season. I'm going to read off to you the top 10 hitters in baseball by weighted runs created plus. Okay, listen to these names and then kind of this is one metric of the most impactful hitters in baseball. And just like listen to where Suarez ranks among those guys. Number one, obviously, you didn't have to guess this one, Aaron Judge. He's at 221. League average is 100. So Judge is just in a different stratosphere. Number two at 173, weighted runs created plus, Shohei Ohtani. Again, no surprise. Number three, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. at 165. Juan Soto, number four at 161. You know, you could have made a you could have probably guessed 1, 2, and 4 without even trying. Like, oh, Judge, Ohtani, Soto, oh, yeah, Vlad, put him in there. Number 5, and this is obviously weighted to what's happened this year with 41 home runs, that would be Cal Raleigh, the catcher for the Seattle Mariners. Number 6, A. Eugenio Suarez. Over the last year plus, 274 average, 331 on base, 597 slugging. The only hitters in baseball since last All-Star break with a higher slugging percentage than Eugenio Suarez, A. Eugenio Suarez, are Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani. I mean, if you want power, this is power. Number 7 is Kyle Schwarber at a 149 weighted runs created plus. Number 8, Bobby Witt Jr., 148 weighted runs created plus. Number 9, the consummate pro, Jose Ramirez from Cleveland, 148, and Corbin Carroll of Arizona, 143. The top 10 hitters in the sport since last All-Star break. Judge, Ohtani, Guerrero Jr., Soto, Raleigh, Suarez, Schwarber, Witt Jr., Ramirez, and Carroll. I mean, that's pretty remarkable company to be in. I think, you know, the adjustments he made last year, big part of it. I think over the last couple years, he's just cut his K rate to a more manageable spot. You know, he was a guy for about 4 years. He hovered around 30% with the strikeout rate. It was too high. It just was too high. And he's got to cut down at about 26-ish percent. It's not, I mean, he's not Stevie Kwan up there. He's not, you know, Luis Urias, where he's making contact on every pitch he swings at. But it's in a manageable spot. It's in the 20s. I think in the 20s, obviously you want low 20s. But low to mid-20s, you can manage that if you're getting slug out of it. He's getting slug out of it and not striking out at a crazy mark. All right, so we're talking about a really impactful player right now in a drive for a contract, and he has been remarkable for over a year. So you feel pretty good about his performance. Now, how about the defense and how this impacts the Phillies? Because it's clearly the biggest. If there's any con to this from the Phillies side of acquiring this player, it's how do you make the puzzle work? So Suarez is a third baseman. If he comes here, he's either DH or he's third base, right? That's it. He's not playing anywhere else. So Suarez is likely, if they acquire this player, I imagine they're acquiring him to play third base. So there's a lot of different iterations how this could go. This could be a clean trade, and Alec Bohm could be involved. I think that is certainly on the table. I know we start with a rib right now. It's not a significant injury. It's not something I think that would hamper him when he comes back. The Diamondbacks, as I said earlier, are probably looking to retool and win next year. Bohm would be under contract for next year for Arizona. It would give them options at either corner. They have a young player in Jordan Lawler coming up who's likely going to play some third base. But they also just traded Josh Naylor, their first baseman. So Bohm to Arizona seems to me like it's a possibility. We'll see if Arizona wants him and he's included in the deal. That's one idea. And it's a clean trade. And then you just put Suarez in Bohm's place and away we go. And I would trust Suarez way more than Bohm in October. Okay, so we have that aspect of it. Let's say Bohm doesn't go, and this is more of a prospects-laden deal. Arizona probably needs starting pitching and healthy pitching for next year because they have a lot of injuries, including who knows when Burns gets back. And, you know, Kelly and what's his name? Why is his name escaping? Merrill Kelly and Zach Gallen could be gone too at the deadline. You know, their future in Arizona isn't secure. So Arizona could want a guy like Mick Abel. Okay. So let's say the Phillies keep Bohm in the deal and they acquire Eugenio Suarez. Well, there's a couple options. You could put Suarez at third, Bohm at first. And that then puts the Phillies in a situation where they can upgrade their outfield, but they have to make a switch. And there's one DH spot left, and you have Harper and you have Schwarber. If you want to improve the outfield defense, or keep the outfield defense at a decent level, I would put Harper back there. According to Buster Olney, he's continually told the team he would do this. I would put Harper out there in the outfield. I'd put him in right. You put Castellanos in left, and away you go. And then you platoon in center with the combination of, Rojas, Marsh. You could even bring up Crawford and try that and see what you have there. So that's a possibility. You could leave Bryce at first. You could put Schwarber in the outfield, which they did yesterday. He caught the ball and it fell on his butt. And you could DH Suarez or Bohm. And you could rotate the DH spot. And you could do a thing where it's a little bit different each day. That's another possibility. Another one on the table, and it's been out there. Now, I think with the Royals acquiring Randall Grichuk from Arizona, ironically. This is probably off the table because Kansas City was, if I had to guess, one of the few teams probably really interested. But there's still some speculation that Castellanos could be moved. That rumor was out there over the weekend. The Phillies could move Castellanos. And that would open up a corner outfield spot. And then, you know, you move Castellanos, you have Suarez at third, you have Bohm at first, and you've opened up right field for, let's say, Harper. You've opened up an outfield spot. Now, should the Phillies be subtracting offense or should they just be adding offense? Well, there could be another deal coming. I mean, what if the Phillies subtracted Castellanos and Bohm and added Suarez and Luis Robert? I mean, it's certainly possible. I mean, I don't put anything past Dave Dombrowski. I think he needs to be desperate. This team's window is open now, but it could be slammed shut in 3 months. So there's got to be that aura of desperation to all of this that I think the Phillies are feeling right now, that Dombrowski's feeling right now. That doesn't surprise me in the slightest. I'd be feeling the same exact thing if I was Dave Dombrowski. Now, defensively, Suarez isn't going to win any gold gloves, but he's a solid enough defender, decent enough over there. You're going to get by. Look, the Phillies have gotten by defensively, and I would actually say Suarez is probably a little below average defensively, but they've gotten by defensively with Alec Bohm trying to win a World Series for years. So they could do this. Now, before I get into my comp, I'll end with my comp. The player that, and this, the kind of hitter and performer that Suarez reminds me of, you know, a lot of the consternation is going to be about defense. Defense, defense, did they make this trade? How does it all fit? You know, the Phillies, the furthest they went in the last few years is with the worst defensive team they had. With Castellanos out there making plays in the outfield, with, you know, Schwarber in the outfield every day, with Hoskins at first base, with Bohm at third base. They really got by with not good defense in 2022 and made it work. So you could make it work with aggressive defensive replacements, get up early with home runs and get the defense, and you can make that work in the month of October. I wanted to point that out. All right, now as far as who they're battling for this guy. You know, Seattle got Josh Naylor. Does it exclude them from this? The same two teams making two big deals in the same span of a week feels a little bit odd to me. So I don't think it's going to be the Mariners. The Yankees just got Ryan McMahon. The Cubs, I think, would be a possibility here. It's an all-in kind of move if they could get him and Merrill Kelly or Zach Gallen. But actually, the Cincinnati Reds might be the team we should watch out for here. Tito Francona, they're playing well in the second half. I think they are the most dangerous team on the outside looking in right now with the postseason in the NL to knock one of these teams out, you know, like one of those central teams, Cubs or Brewers, like the Padres or like the Phillies or Mets. And Tito teams play well in the second half. Phillies have to go there for a series. Suarez played in Cincinnati. They could clearly use one more bat. They would worry me. And I think that is they're a team I would watch in this. I think it's a team the Phillies have to compete with for Suarez. All right, now for the comp. So, you know, Suarez is an interesting hitter because he doesn't love to walk. He does hit for a tremendous amount of power. But when you look at his career, and if you look at, let's say, Suarez 2014 to now, compared to a player I'm going to bring up that we all know very well from, let's say, 2000 to 2010, okay? Let's go to hits. 1,394 for Suarez. Mystery player, 1,351. Runs batted in, 918 for Suarez, 955. For mystery player. Home runs, 312 Suarez, 285 mystery player. The slash line, 249, 330, 466 for Suarez. 254, 362, 475 for mystery player. OPS, 837 to 796. So pretty similar. I was in the mystery player slightly better overall. Average on base slugging, but pretty similar. The games are 1,574 to 1,548, so a good amount of durability. Both right-handed sluggers, both have had, or had, one guy, the mystery guy, his career's over, obviously, had kind of a similar thing where he would have roller coastery seasons overall, a good decade, but, you know, some of his years were better than others. Adjusted OPS, which I think factors in, you know, the current pitching landscape. It's tougher to hit now than it was 15, 20 years ago. although mystery player, had a slightly better batting average, better on base, slightly better slugging, better OPS. The adjusted OPS was 116 for mystery hitter, 113 for Suarez. So it really, when you kind of level it out, it's pretty darn even. The player I'm talking about is Pat Burrell. Eugenio Suarez. Eugenio Suarez reminds me a little bit of Pat Burrell. He doesn't walk as much, not quite as selective. But in terms of the power, in terms of the ability to have a huge year, the ability to consistently hit doubles and home runs, to slug close to 500 for a 10-year period, he reminds me of him. And I could see Pat Burrell then. I can imagine, remember Pat Burrell then, behind Ryan Howard in the lineup protecting him. And now the Phillies could try something similar and stack Turner, Schwarber, Harper, Eugenio Suarez to really start rolling here with some power down the stretch of the season. That's what I'm thinking. That's what I think Dave Dabrowski's thinking. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, follow the podcast. Our YouTube feed is 94WIP. Check it out there.